ABC Radio Australia.
The Flying Fijians will take part in a new international rugby tournament starting next year. It's called the Nations Championships, and it will see 12 of the strongest rugby nations play a single competition across both hemispheres. Fiji will join Japan, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa and Argentina in the south, while the northern teams will feature six nation sides: England, France, Ireland, Italy, Scotland and Wales. So to find out more, we are joined by former Fijiana captain Leilani Burns, who is now a board member and commercial manager for Fiji Rugby Union. With that, I say Yandra Leilani, and welcome to the show.
Yandra Vanaka, thank you for having me, and exciting times ahead for Fiji Rugby.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, let's start with the competition format. I mean, how many games will Fiji play when the competition kicks off in July?
Sure, Aggie. Well, Fiji, like the other teams, will be competing and having six games in the initial cross-hemisphere fixture. So in July, we'll have the Northern Hemisphere teams, as you know, travelling south. And for Fiji, personally, we'll be playing against Wales, England and Scotland. And then in November, we'll travel up to the Northern Hemisphere and we'll be playing against France, Ireland and Italy. Mm. So straight off the bat, we've got six games. And then that is, of course, before we head into the final series.
Wow. Yes. And talking about the finals, so how many teams then we'll get to play in the finals weekend in London in November?
Well, all 12 teams will be getting the chance to play in the final weekend in London. So how this will all work is after the initial rounds, each of the teams is then ranked. So they'll be ranked from 1 to 6 within their individual hemisphere. And then those rankings will then decide who will be playing who in the finals. So for instance, we'll have first playing first, second playing second, and so on and so forth. Mm. But they'll be playing against the teams from the opposite hemisphere. So for me, what really makes this exciting, Aggie, is the concept of the finals weekend at Allianz Stadium in Twickenham. Mm. Now, this is something completely new for rugby, and it is 3 days of back-to-back double headers, and it's going to be creating a festival of international rugby. So this gives us a huge dramatic finish to the Nations Championship, and ultimately it decides not just who is the best team in the world, but also the top hemisphere in the world game.
Wow, yeah, it really does sound exciting. Leilani, why then was it important to create, you know, such a competition like this? Because do you think it's really going to help keep fans engaged in between World Cup tournaments?
100%, Aggie. In my opinion, I think it's really important that a competition like the Nations Championship was created because, in my opinion, there was a little bit of a gap in terms of the international rugby calendar. Mm. So, as we know, we had the July and November test matches or the test windows, which are great, but they never really had a bigger storyline or any real stakes apart from the world rankings, which was attached to them. So by turning these windows into a proper tournament with points, rankings and a trophy on the line, we're giving fans something more meaningful to follow. So what makes this even more thrilling is that it is the first time that we've ever had the top rugby nations in the world all come together to design one clear global competition. Now, that's a huge step for the sport. Mm. And it's the biggest evolution in rugby ever since the game turned professional back in 1995. So to answer your question, yes, the Nations Championship will definitely keep fans engaged and eager to get in all of that amazing rugby action in between World Cups and, of course, the Lions Tour. So instead of waiting for the years for the next major event, our supporters and fans now have got high-quality competitive tournaments every 2 years to look forward to.
Wow. You know, just for Fiji itself, like, does this actually guarantee Fiji more regular international matches?
Yes, for Fiji, our participation in this championship now guarantees that we are part of a consistent structure and meaningful competition. And instead of depending on our traditional tourist schedules like we have in the past, we now have got that consistent high-quality international fixtures to look forward to. So what this actually gives us, Aggie, is something that we have never had before, and that is in terms of regular, meaningful, guaranteed world-class test rugby every 2 years, at a tier one standard against tier one opponents as a tier one nation. And the impact of this will have that throw on effect through our entire rugby system. The opportunity to play against consistent tier one nations will no doubt strengthen our depth and sharpen our tactics and, of course, build our resilience out there. This also ensures that we are going to be able to remain competitive, not just in terms of the short term, but for the longer pictures as well. So for the generations to come, this will also reinforce Fiji's growing reputation as a true rugby power. House.
Yeah, I would like to know though, you know, again, Fiji's joined the competition, even along with Japan, but on an invitational basis, what does that actually mean?
Sure. So from Fiji's perspective, by being able to be joining the Nations Championship on an invitational basis, it's providing us with a massive opportunity. It also provides us with recognition that we are now have reached the elite level of the global game. So the competition, as you know, they did need two additional teams to compete to complete the Sansa group, and that was Fiji along with Japan. And in my opinion, these two teams were definitely chosen strategically. Our recent performances, our higher world rankings compared to other Pacific and emerging nations, and the way that we've consistently shown that we can compete at the world stage, especially at the World Cups, and also out there in terms of the test matches, I think this has all really played a really big part in that decision. So for Fiji being included, it's not just symbolic. We have committed to a long-term agreement to be part of this tournament, which gives us really great stability, consistent top-tier competition, and of course, a clear place in the international rugby landscape. So at the same time, you may have heard as well, Aggie, that there is a new second-tier competition which is being created by World Rugby, and that is for the other emerging nations that are coming through. And I think that's really, really great for the growth of the sport. But for Fiji, being able to be selected into this top tier signifies to us that we are now seeing a genuine high-performance nation with real commercial and competitive value. So it shows to the world that Fiji belongs at the top of the table of international rugby, and you know, between you and me, we're ready for the challenge.
Leilani, look, as you said, you know, I understand the second division will be introduced also, but will there be promotion and, you know, relegation between the two tiers?
I believe so. I mean, we have to wait for the official announcement to come out, so I guess time will tell.
Well, there's been reports, though, that Fiji will host its matches on neutral ground and not in Fiji. Can I ask why this is?
Sure. Well, the venues haven't been confirmed as yet, but neutral venues are being explored at present. And that's, of course, for the July fixtures. And then, of course, when we are hosting our games, that would be played up in the Northern Hemisphere. But there's really multiple factors that we need to consider in terms of our actual venues. And what is being currently considered is including player welfare, high performance, logistics, and to be able to identify suitable venues to support international rugby events. So, as I said, venues haven't been confirmed as yet, but we will definitely let everyone know once they have been, and it's definitely an exciting announcement, so make sure you stay tuned for that one.
Well, I'm wondering, Leilani, because, you know, maybe playing in neutral grounds in bigger stadiums potentially, do you think that means a bigger boost in income?
Definitely. I think, you know, being able to have these new opportunities to play in venues that we haven't traditionally hosted at before, this opens up to this whole realm of more commercial partnerships and opportunities. So I do believe that it will take us to the next level.
I'm wondering though, you know, with Fiji now officially considered a tier one rugby nation, I mean, if so, what does that mean for the women's team?
Sure. Well, Fiji being considered as a tier one nation, obviously that's a huge milestone for us. And to be able to be recognised at this level provides us with that regular access to high quality international competitions. And that also means that Fiji is able to stand alongside the elite of rugby nations world. So in terms of our women's team, as I mentioned earlier, this recognition is definitely going to be beneficial for our whole rugby ecosystem, which also includes the women's program. So that tier one status brings greater visibility, stronger pathways, and more investment into the performance structures across both our men's and, of course, our women's game. And also we'll be able to strengthen our case for more regular test opportunities for our Fijiana women's team. It also will provide better resourcing and deeper development pathways for our young and upcoming players as well. So basically, in short, Fiji becoming a tier one standard raises the expectation and opportunity across Fiji's rugby landscape. And of course, it provides our women's team the opportunity to be able to benefit from that momentum.
Leilani, you know, as we were talking, I was just thinking back to, you know, talking about the stadiums where the teams can play. Like, do you think you will target grounds in countries with a large Fijian diaspora?
We would be definitely be calling on our diaspora to be coming out and to be able to support our team. But we're also looking at making our scientific data-based approach. So we have partnered with industry heavyweights such as CAA Porters to be able to go through and conduct scientific studies to make sure that we are analysing each of the venues and making the best decision both for our team and for the commercial opportunities as well.
Quickly want to just try and get this in, though. Flying Fijians playing Spain this weekend. We've got about 20 seconds. How do you think they'll go?
Well, you know, I think that we've got a great match. I know that we have been quite dominant when we played against Spain previously. But, you know, at this tier and at this level of competition, you can never rule anyone out. Just looking back at the competition so far against England, we really showed great physicality and skill. But unfortunately, moments of indiscipline did cost us. But I think we've learned from our mistakes from that and also against France. And I'm very, very positive with the game ahead. And I know that our boys want to finish off this tour on a high. So absolutely. I'm looking forward to what we have in store.
Thank you so much, Leilani. That's all the time that we have.
Tanaka.